Hello, I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Channel CME. Our topic today is bariatric surgery, specifically addressing some of the common barriers to referral as well as strategies for long-term success. We'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting the program. We'd also like to thank Ethicon Endo Surgery for providing the educational grant to make this program possible. Physicians and other healthcare professionals can earn free CME credit by registering online at discoverychannelcme.com and taking the post-test. All the graphics and references from today's program will also be available online. It's easy to log on, take the post-test, and earn free credit for the program, so log on today. Now, we're fortunate to have a distinguished group of experts in the studio with us today. Dr. Yolanda Castro, Family Care Providers, Fresno, California. Dr. Lloyd Stegeman, Director of Bariatric Surgery, Inova Hospital, San Antonio, Texas. And Dr. Kimberly Skelding, Interventional Cardiologist, Geisinger Health System, Danville, Pennsylvania. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Now, during the next hour, we will discuss the latest data on the rates of obesity, explain barriers to referral for bariatric surgery, and discuss strategies to overcome such barriers. We'll describe the different bariatric surgery procedures, including gastric bypass and gastric banding, describe recent data regarding the effectiveness of bariatric surgery, identify approaches for long-term weight loss after bariatric surgery. Now, obesity certainly has been in the news in recent years. What are the latest rates, the latest data regarding obesity in the United States?
Well, the rates are alarming, and the really alarming part is they're continuing to rise. Just some general numbers, and again, it will vary depending on who you read, but in general, about 65% of Americans fall into the overweight or obese category. When we break that down even further, about 30% of Americans are obese, meaning their BMI is greater than 30, and 5% of those are morbidly obese, meaning they're at least 100 pounds overweight or BMI is greater than 40.
What's even more staggering is how it affects our minority populations, specifically women, and more importantly, African Americans.
And obesity has an impact on our healthcare spending, as it accounts for $80 billion every year. In addition, we have 300,000 deaths every year due to obesity. So it's really ubiquitous and affects all aspects of our healthcare system.
And that's the problem with obesity, is that it's not the weight. It's what that weight does to your body, because that's the healthcare dollars. It's spent on diabetes, and it's spent on hypertension and sleep apnea and those types of problems.
Why haven't we done a better job in combating obesity?
Obesity is so prevalent that many patients don't realize that when we talk about the obese patient, we're talking about them. It's a ubiquitous issue in the entire society, and patients are getting bigger and bigger every year. So they don't really realize how much obesity impacts their other health care issues. And physicians are also desensitized. Almost all of the patients we see in our cardiology clinics are obese. We don't think about it. It's not on the tip of our tongue. But we need to address it every day with every patient.
So is there a bias against obese patients?
Absolutely. And I think it moves across many different spectrums in society. And we can see that in multiple different areas. And I think that also translates over into the physician world as well. And we clearly know from several studies that have come out recently that physicians treat their obese patients differently, or many physicians do. They treat those patients with less respect or think that that patient's not going to follow through on other types of treatment. And that starts to affect our ability to deliver health care.
And there's perceptions and assumptions. So we perceive that patients either aren't ready, aren't motivated, don't have the discipline to do it, or we make an assumption that they can't do it. And as a physician in interventional cardiology, treating obese patients becomes a challenge even to me. A lot of physicians have this sort of subconscious bias against obesity.
And I think that is the hardest door to open, and many physicians do have that bias against the obese patient. I can tell a little bit about my own personal story, because I was an obese patient who had all the comorbid things, and I have had bariatric surgery, and it has been a true life-changing experience. But not only that, in terms of getting my health back, but also how I can easily more address the issue of obesity. There is a way to deal with patients and how to address the obesity without being condescending, without making them feel bad, without making them feel guilty. Patients already have that depression. They already have that low self-esteem, and they're afraid of failure.
And I think that's part of needing to change the conversation, that obesity is a disease. And when we start to think about it as a disease, then we can offer treatment and offer hope because we're treating this disease. We take that stigma away.
Well, we do know that less than 1% of obese patients receive bariatric surgery. Now, biases could be playing a role there. And to look further into this, we had an opportunity to meet with three doctors, a cardiologist, an obstetrician-gynecologist, and a primary care physician, Dr. Castro, in fact, to learn what these barriers are and the reasons behind them.
In family practice, I find myself not to be a symptom doctor. I try to be the physician that will look for the reason you have the problem. And what I'm finding more and more in my practice is that a lot of it, if there is a weight issue, that can be the real fulcrum of what their problems are. How do you sit there and tell a patient all your problems are because you're overweight? One of the biggest barriers is communicating to the patient the need for losing weight. And doing it in a sensitive way. Patients don't like to be beat up about their weight or told that they're not doing a good job.
This is a BMI chart, and what this does is it tells us where you fit in terms of your weight and your height.
I know that initially, before I learned more about bariatric surgeries, I didn't use the tools that are available to kind of bring up weight and obesity and nutrition.
So for a person who's about 5 feet tall, if we can just move you down just enough, I think we're going to be on the right track.
I think that most physicians think of bariatric surgery as a last resort. As physicians, we're so concerned about fixing what's already broken, and we really need to change that concept.
And what it does
now I look at bariatric surgery with all the various different options for patients. I look at it as a tool to help us in preventing more disease processes.
I want you to go ahead and lie down here, and I'm going to go ahead and listen to your heart, okay? As a cardiologist, I see patients that they are obese, so I need to address that issue right at the onset because it's clear that obesity is a risk factor for development of the heart disease. The first barrier is the lack of education. I think the referring cardiologist, the internist, and the other physicians who refer, they need to go and learn more about these procedures firsthand. Make sure you keep doing your exercise on a regular basis. I went to one of the seminars and I learned different procedures so I can tell my patient, hey, this is the procedures available. Some cardiologists just fix the heart and then we say, okay, you go back to your referring internist and let them deal with the risk factors. Or they're just treating, okay, I'm going to give you this medicine, come back after 4 months, do this diet, do that diet. I think that also plays a big part. In that situation, the patient gets kind of lost. The cardiologist and the internist, they have to work in a team, not just keeping a tunnel vision that I'm going to fix one problem and just ignore everything else.
As an obstetrician, I am a specialist, but to some extent, I'm a primary care physician. They come to me with all their issues. My thoughts on bariatric surgery before I actually had patients were pretty much similar to most people out there. The thought that, why can't they diet? Why can't they exercise? But once I've gotten to meet them and see them, these patients have struggled. These patients have tried everything, and it really opened to my eyes. This is just one tool for them to use for the rest of their life.
I've lost 110 pounds. I'm jealous. You look perfect.
I think one of the biggest barriers for bariatric surgery for a patient is possibly the physician's own prejudice about the reasons patients are obese. They're looking to me for help. They're looking to me to give them guidance. And if I don't give them guidance and their options, then I'm not doing my job.
No, that's really remarkable. I really think that you're doing a great job.
Are you taking any medications?
I'm a general surgeon who's specialized in bariatric surgery. One of the reasons doctors may not be referring to us is they may not know about the effectiveness of weight loss surgery.
And I welcome all of you. After you have a gastric bypass, your stomach is going to be reduced.
I think many of our referring physicians are changing their position on referring patients to us. Mainly because of the success that their patients have.
Sometimes I can tolerate certain things at certain meals, but other times I can't.
Your body's still undergoing some changes?
Most physicians are finding out that actually weight is the underlying problem for many conditions. I believe if we address this problem at an earlier point and not wait till they're to 300 pounds overweight patients will do a lot better.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
As a patient of surgery, I can tell you that my life has changed incredibly, but more importantly, how I address those barriers to referrals and bringing up those issues of obesity to patients in a place where they're comfortable. I have to be able to develop a rapport. It's certainly not something that I feel I can really jump out at them. And so what I've utilized is a lot of the educational information that's been made available with respect to nutrition. And again, we have not been trained in nutrition. We do not have all those things. In the time that we were training, bariatric surgery was probably the last resort for patients. And what I try to do now, especially because I kind of am a walking, talking poster person, people are asking me what I've done, and I'm free to open up. But I do use the BMI charts. I do use those tools. I have those, and it generates that ability for patients to come in and ask questions. They're very curious about what have I done to get my health back.
As I go out and I spend a lot of time talking to referring physicians and family practice internal medicine, the things that I find that are really the barriers are probably most importantly a lack of education. And a lack of education in the sense of where we are with bariatric surgery now. It is very different than where we were 10 years ago. I mean, the data is much, much clearer. The process has gotten so much better. But many, many physicians were trained longer time ago where bariatric surgery was not safe. They had a lot of bad results. The procedures weren't nearly as good as what they are now, and that tends to prevent them from referring over at this point.
I mean, the small amount of training we got on nutrition, that we even have a smaller degree of education on bariatric surgery and the different options. And so many physicians who are practicing now are sort of stuck with the concept of, this is something I never learned about, and I've got to find a way to learn about it.
And a lot of physicians don't know who they should refer, so I don't refer anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that knowledge process is knowing who we should refer for bariatric surgery. Oftentimes, it's just opening a conversation. A patient may not want surgery, and that's okay, but certainly to be able to talk with them about to say, this is an option.
And that's where we come in. You know, certainly I had to educate myself on the various programs that are out there. And that was self-education from a personal perspective because I was going to do the surgery and I need to know about it. And so knowing and having that knowledge and being able to walk side by side that journey with patients has been a real plus. But there's a lot of doctors who don't do that. There's a lot of those biases that we talked about. And I think that it's up to us to go out and investigate those various different programs that are available, take advantage of the programs such as what both of the physicians here have to share in their facilities, and also include patients in the discussion of how they're going to deal with their health. Not everybody is going to be a candidate for surgery. Not everybody may have the right motivation, but it has to be part of the tools that we use to help them deal with their health issues.
Perception and assumptions are one of the biggest barriers. The perception that maybe the patient isn't interested, well, if they've never been given the option, they don't know. The other perception is that the patients might not be motivated to fulfill the whole program. And I think we need to get them at least to the right people to be educated and to be given their options so that they can make choices. If they're never given the option, we never know. And if that becomes an issue for the physicians, that we are biased about what patients are able to do versus giving them just the chance to see what's out there.
I think you're absolutely right, and it comes back to bias. Mm-hmm. It comes back to, well, it's not going to work anyway, so I should even send them over to do it. And that's a bias that we really need to be careful of as physicians because, again, I think the really key thing to keep in mind, it's not the weight. It's what that weight is doing to their body. And I can treat diabetes. I can treat high blood pressure. I can treat sleep apnea. But those are Band-Aids. Mm-hmm. I'm missing the real root cause of the problem, which is the obesity.
And until bariatric surgery really became a little more mainstream, we as physicians were treating obesity every day and failing vastly. And so to have an option that actually works will overcome some of those biases because the assumption was everything I've ever done and the patients still don't lose weight. And now we have a viable option, and why not try that? Think about it.
When you look at the data is very clear. Once somebody's become morbidly obese, so that BMI greater than 40, 100 pounds overweight, the chance of them taking it off on their own with best medical therapy is very, very low. In most studies, it's less than 5%. The vast majority of studies, it's 1 to 2%. It's very low. And there's no other area of medicine I can think of that we put a patient on a therapy that's going to fail 98% of the time and think that that's okay. But yet, when it comes to the extreme forms of obesity, we tell patients, you need to diet and exercise. Well, for that patient, it's probably not going to be the most effective treatment for them.